All right. So I get the awesome privilege of introducing our speaker, who has just recently gotten her ministry license, Miss Jen Dupin. She is a wonderful person and one of my very dear friends. She is what I call a Renaissance woman. Because she can do many things well, excellent. Her main claim to fame right now is that she runs Elevate Dance Ministry, which is one of our harvest projects, and it is an awesome ministry. She has three locations here in this area, and she reaches kids that wouldn't probably necessarily even come to church, or maybe they go to church somewhere, but they're not really discipled. Her ministry is a discipleship ministry, and it's powerful, and it is a life changer. And so, she is my dear, dear friend. So, thank you.
Jen Hansen's one of my go-to. She's one of my core people.
All right, let's give Jen some hand.
Hi, guys. How are you guys today? All right, I got to make sure that I have this on and that I have this going. So I was praying. So Pastor Jeff approached me last week. We knew that there were a lot of folks out sick. We knew that they were going to be gone. And so he said, hey, will you speak? And so in obedience and after prayer, I said, sure. And I'm like, all right, Lord. I don't want to, it doesn't make any difference if I'm up here talking. If it's Jen, it means absolutely nothing. I'm like, I really just want to hear, God, what do you want to say? And not say to me necessarily, but what do you want to say to everybody? And a lot of times there's a lot of overlap, that a lot of times what he is saying to me, he's usually saying to other people, but God, I want to hear what you're saying. And so last week as we were singing in worship, there was a song that it was Endless Alleluia. And as we were singing Endless Alleluia, all of a sudden thoughts just started coming. And I was like, okay, I guess that's what we're going to talk about today. And so there was a part in the song that talked about like a shooting star burning up the night. And immediately I was transported to Belize. So every year we, with the exception of this year and last year because of COVID, every year our dance ministry goes to Belize to work in two of the villages with at-risk kids. And so we go down there, we work with at-risk kids. It's absolutely wonderful, beautiful time. And in Belize, during our downtime, we go into our compound, and we lay on this concrete pad at night, and we look up at the stars. Because in Belize, there's not the light pollution. I live off Hurstbourne Lane, okay? Hurstbourne and Taylorsville Road, and the light pollution, you're like, okay, there's Orion's Belt, there's Venus. You know, you can see key stars, but you go to Belize and you lay on this concrete pad and you look up, and we're always there during the Orionids meteor shower. And so we go there and we look up, and it is absolutely unlike anything I've ever seen. It is absolutely majestic. And you can see these meteors going, and there's just something in that that gives you this newfound awe of just the bigness of God, right? And so I used to teach middle school science here. And I can remember one of the times that I taught about astronomy, and I'm teaching about the difference in sizes of the planets, the difference in the different types of stars. I'm teaching about all of those things. And when you really start looking at how massive everything is, it really does kind of put into perspective the massiveness of God. And what I felt like God put on my heart is that regardless of whether I'm on Hurstbourne Lane and I can only see two stars, or I'm in Belize, the stars don't change. The glory and the majesty of the heavens don't actually change. What changed is where I was. What changed is what was around me. Okay, so that's what changes, and his glory never changes. And one of the key things about Foursquare, this is going to be one of the key verses in Foursquare, is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His glory doesn't change. But we live in a world that is so volatile. We live in a world that's filled with hardship. It's filled with all of these things. It's our vision that changes. And in 2 Kings, this is one of the passages that really came to me, and I loved that Tyler did This Is How I Fight My Battles. Okay, my girls actually did a routine to that a couple years ago, and it's one of those that really I appreciate greatly, but I'm just going to read straight from scripture. This is from 2 Kings 6. It says, this is when Elisha, they're about to be surrounded by an army. Everybody else kind of thinks we're about to be taken out, Elisha has a different vision. Elisha sees things differently. And here's what happens. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And as the enemy came toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had said. Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me. I'll lead you to the man you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria. And as they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and they were inside Samaria. So this is that place where you feel like you're in a battle. By all natural appearances, it looks like we're going down. Like, it looks like I am surrounded. It looks like I don't know. And this, and literally this week, and it's one of those things that it's super fun when you're prepping for something and you're like, I don't actually want to have to do this. Like, I don't want to have to actually go through this process in preparation, but that's usually how this goes. And, but this, that's how God opened the eyes through Elisha, through that man of God, that there was a different vision and a different perspective. And so what we're going to talk about today is how do we adjust our vision as we're going through the trials, as we're going through the things that we, because we live in a fallen world, because we are what we are, what do we do? So first, just understanding that our vision and understanding are inherently limited. We are finite people. We are creations, not the creator. By virtue of just the limited who we are, we're limited. We know in part, we prophesy in part. And until we're actually fully restored, full resurrection, all of those things, we just have to understand that it's limited. And so I am getting blinder and blinder as I'm getting older. I've worn glasses or contacts since I was 7 years old. My vision is the type that they put the big E up there, and I'm like, I know it's supposed to be an E because it's always an E, but I can't actually see the E, okay? So I have to have glasses all the time or I'm blind as a bat. But what has happened, and my husband thinks it's funny because he's 10 years older than I am, and he went through this process a lot earlier, is he's starting to watch me go like this, and he's like, oh, you having some trouble? And I'm like, shh. Hush. My son's like, why is your font so big on your phone? I'm like, because I'm blind. Hush. Because my vision's changing, okay? And my vision is, it's getting harder to see, and I have to keep adjusting. It keeps changing and adjusting. Different things hit us at different points, and we need constant tune-in, constant tune-ups in our vision. So what are we limited by? We're limited, our vision's limited because we have pollutants. We've got pollutants in this world. We've got stuff that's all around us that hits us all the time. We can turn on the news, and can we just agree that the last year and a half we've been bombarded by those pollutants? It's everywhere, all the time. And if you've got a cell phone, it never leaves. Pollutants of self. This is one we don't like to talk about as often because it doesn't feel as good. But it's very real that there's a lot of times because of our own inherent flesh, our own sin nature, the things that are within us that we don't even realize because we've carried it for so long, that we've got these pollutants within ourself, that these are those things that obstruct how we see. So just like when I'm on Hurstbourne Lane and looking at the stars and I can't see everything, there are pollutants that I need to be dealing with. And the other thing is our incomplete knowledge of God or our incomplete knowledge of who Christ is. That's another just huge one, a huge one for me. So we're going to talk about how do we kind of fix our vision, overcoming limited vision. The first one, you can't really get past any of it if you don't know Jesus. That's first core, like God. You have to know. You have to know who he is. And what happened to me several years ago, for those who don't know my whole story, I have battled depression, and clinical depression, clinical OCD. I have battled those things, diagnosed at 21. I went through some dark periods in my life. There was one particular point where what I was dealing with, I was wrestling with a lot of shame and a lot of self-condemnation, a lot of self-hatred. So I'm dealing with a lot of that. And I actually went into a church, and I'm doing my best because I'm like, okay, I need to understand. I need to get my head around some things. And I can remember the teaching that day was along the lines of sometimes you just got to get up. You got to get up and you got to like move on and you got to, and it sounded very rah-rah, but what I heard in that was, yeah, see, you're failing even at that. You can't even do that. And it was the conversion story of Paul that was used. It was Paul, he was struck by blindness, and then Jesus told him to get up and go in. And sometimes you just need to get up, right? And because of that, I wrestled and I went home and I was crying because I'm like, I can't get up and I don't know what's wrong. Like, I feel like a failure of a Christian. And I had a friend who called me that day and she said, hey, what was the passage used today? This friend had never called me and I believe it was divine because I believe God wanted to heal something in me that day. She said, what was the passage that was used? I was like, hang on, it was in Acts. Let me go find it. It was either Acts 2 or Acts 9. Let me go look. And so I'm looking, and I go and I read it. And when I read it, yes, Paul was struck by blindness. But what God said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up. And what I really believed, I felt in my spirit was, you're still on I am Jesus. You're not going to get up until you know I am Jesus. And that without knowing who Jesus is, without really knowing the man, the God-man that is Jesus, a full comprehensive understanding of the man and God that is him, and the goodness of who he is, we're going to keep trying to overcome things in our own strength, that it's going to be impossible, that we can't. And so the first step is to, dig in, press in, know him. Know him, intimate knowledge of him. That's going to be the first way that you get past some of this. This one's going to be a little more painful. Overcoming limited vision. This is where God starts doing some work in us. The purifying process is where it's not always fun. But here's what I find over and over in Scripture, because I think all of us would agree that when we look around at the world's broken, that we can all agree that we're not super fans of everything that happens in our world, right? But here's what else I notice, especially social media, is a lot of times we want to talk about what's the bad things that are happening out here. And when I read in Scripture over and over and over, and this is just me, what I see is God doesn't hammer the world. He starts with individuals. He's like, I'm going to first go to this individual. He's very personal, super personal. And he's like, when I'm about to do a move in the world, I'm actually going to start with the changing of the heart of the person that I've called that's the prophet or that individual. And you see it over and over. He's like, Isaiah, you're called. And what happens? Hot coal on the mouth. Jeremiah, you're called. Touch his mouth. Paul, you're called. Struck by blindness, and then you're still going to go sit on a mountain for a while and take a tutorial on how to do this thing for me personally because you still don't have it together. Moses, called, but you're going to go through this refining process in the wilderness for 40 years. And so a lot of times what we want to see is we want to see God make the world right, and really what he's saying is it starts with an individual saying, God, make me right. Make me right, help me in this sanctifying process. And it's only through that sanctification process where he says, you take the plank out before you can go get specs out, right? And so this piece that sometimes you see that's missing, then you see him collectively talk to the church. Church, let's keep us clean. Church, where are the places we fall short? Church, where can we be a good witness? What are the things that we need to be cleaning house, that we need to be purifying, that we need to be sanctifying? What are the pollutants here that we need to be really wrestling with and dealing with? And it's only when you see these processes happen that then he goes and says, all right, now this is how we're going to cleanse. The world is going to get cleansed. But these first ones are not as fun. So you're going to notice a shift in the flames. Because the removing of the pollutants of self. So talking about ourself, This is the part where he has all of us. He has all of us in one way or another. And there are so many scriptures that you find. One of my favorite passages, when I was really wrestling through and originally diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder, and when they specifically a type called scrupulosity, where spiritually I was really wrestling through a lot of scriptures and had a lot of what if questions. And the passage that I got stuck was Romans 7. I do the things I do not want to do, but I do the things I do not want to do. And I find this battle within. And it just like tore me up. And so I would find these things that where I had this internal battle that I could very clearly see within myself. And I hated it. I absolutely couldn't stand that I saw this battle within myself. And my uncle was the one who helped me. He walked me through it, and he said, "Honey, you need to turn the page to Romans 8 already. Like you're stuck in 7, and you need to flip the page, okay? Because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and you're stuck in 7, and you need to flip the page." And I was like, "Oh." Okay, there was such a freedom that came that when God is bringing conviction, it's not condemnation, and learning how to make a distinction between those voices, because for me, I lived in condemnation for years and years, and that there's a difference, because conviction is unto life. Condemnation is unto death. Conviction brings shame, or conviction brings life. Condemnation brings shame, and I shouldn't. And all the shouldn't. That's where I lived for so long. But he still does convict. And he still does want a refining process to happen. But that looks different now in that there's not shame in it. It's more like a parent who says, "Honey, if you keep doing that, that is not going to be good for you. Like, I need you to listen and I need you to adjust this because I love you enough to not let you keep doing this thing unto your freedom." And that's a very different voice than "shame on you, you're not a good enough Christian," right? That's a very different voice. Let's see, where are we? Okay. And just in case you don't know if other people, like if you look up the word trial or you look up the word refining, you will find a lot of scriptures. One of the other things with, like, in particular with fire, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, refine them like gold and silver. They will bring offerings and righteousness to the Lord. That's Malachi 3:3. It says, Job 23:10, "He knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I will come out as gold." Proverbs 17:3, "The crucible is for silver. The furnace is for gold. The Lord tests hearts." Psalm 66:10, "For you, O Lord, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried." There's something about this refining process that we all kind of want to kick against. There's that love-hate relationship with discipline that we've got, the discipline that it takes to walk with the Lord, that love-hate relationship, because you know it's unto something good if you've been walking with God for a while, but in the middle of the walk, you're like, "I'd rather not." That's just how that is, right? But he is constantly refining, and it's unto gold. Another picture God gave me when I was in one of my dark times, and I had just finished, and this will be the scripture toward the end, but I had just finished teaching my sixth graders about the planets. And I'm walking through, and on one end I'm teaching on astronomy, and the other I'm talking about atomic structure. And so I'm teaching two different classes, two different things, and within it I'm seeing this beautiful, amazing intricacy and balance of God. I see how at one end it's like so cool and amazingly detailed and small and intimate, and on the other side it's so vast and amazing. And so I finished teaching, and I'm struggling. I'm walking through my own personal struggles, and at night I'm laying in bed and I'm crying. I'm trying to cry quietly so that I don't wake up my husband, because I'm on a struggle bus, and he knew. I mean, I was struggling, and I'm laying there and I'm crying and I'm trying to cry quietly, and I'm praying and I'm like, "Lord, I just don't even know what I need right now." And the verse that came to mind was, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the," and literally in my spirit, it stopped. And I knew the verse. The verse was, "So great is my love for those who fear me," or whatever. And I'm like, okay, but in my mind it stopped. And it was like, what do you need right now? Peace? Joy? Because every good thing of God is encompassed within his love. What do you need? As high as the heavens are above the earth. I had just finished teaching astronomy. I had just finished teaching that the closest star is 4.2 light years away to the sun. Like, that's our next door neighbor, 4.2 light years. That's the close one. Not to mention all the other ones that are out there. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the. And I had just finished a scale for these students. Jen, I need you to get your head around my, that's how huge I am. That's how huge my love is in comparison with what you've got going on. And it put it into scale. And then I saw a picture of a gold bar being pressed. That gold that's gone through the refining process and poured into the mold. And then I saw a signet ring pressed, a signet ring of a king pressed. And we are pressed, but not crushed. And what came to mind is the reason we're not crushed is because there's some substance left after the refining. That when you're refined and the impurities get burned off and what's left is pure, and you can press it, but it's not crushed. And that what's left is the mark of a king that you belong to, and that's what he gives us. But nobody likes the refining process because it's not fun. But it is unto something beautiful and wonderful if we allow him to remove those pollutants in our lives. Removing the pollutants of the church, this one's harder. This one, to talk about at least, because it gets tricky, because you don't want to feel like you're being disloyal to the body of Christ. You don't want to feel like you're doing anything that you're not supposed to do. But can we just be real and say that there are pockets and places where there are things that happen that shouldn't happen, and we should be calling it out? And we should be saying, there are things that as the body of Christ, we really should be dealing with in the body. Because if we're going to be a witness to the world, we need to conduct ourselves with health. We need to conduct ourselves with clean hands. And in the places where we don't have clean hands as a body, we need to be addressing those things. And when I look at scripture, when I look at Revelation in particular, and I see the order, and I see a lot of people who are talking about end times. And again, it's like, obviously, every day is a day call of Babylon. With first look at the beginning. The beginning talks, if you look at it, the opener is, he is Jesus. And it goes through the description of the holiness of who he is. Right after that, the next two chapters, he talks to the church. Before he ever addresses Babylon, he says, church at Ephesus, church at Thyatira, church, Pergamum, church, church, church. Guys, before we can jump to end times, before we can jump to Babylon, are we asking the question, God, I hope I'm not Ephesus. I hope I'm not some of these places, but I need you to help me to be real and be honest and lay it before you. And if there's a work that needs to be done, if I'm guilty of being lukewarm, please show me, because I don't want to be. If I'm guilty of some of these things that are written in the beginning of the book, I don't want to be cheering on the end of the book without first getting to addressing the beginning of the book. It's hard and it's not pleasant, but again, his refining process and his discipline process is always unto. It's unto health, it's unto life. Unto life in the church. And only then are we able to actually shine for the rest of the world. Only then can we be authentic and say, okay, and that then the world sees something that really is different is by really letting God do that refining process. Not fun, but it's good. All right. Then the last one, even with all the refining, even with the adjustment of vision, we still live in a fallen world. There is a Babylon. There is a whole lot of junk in this world. And remembering that it's his job to purify it. And that it's his job that he will and he does. He rights all wrongs. That the things that are in this world, the disease, the hardship, the injustice, all those things, being in prayer for those things, being a voice to ask appropriate questions when we need to take action where it's appropriate, we need to take appropriate action, all of those things. But remembering that it is God who sets up kings and deposes them. It is God who has his hand over this whole planet, over this whole place. And God, we submit to you, and we are just going to believe that you know the timeline. You know the timeline. and you know what's supposed to happen. And that same fire that for the believer is the empowering fire, is the fire that is going to actually ignite within us to be a light to the world, that same fire is the fire that, let's be real, it is the fire that is that same judgment fire. That's not my job. I'm not the judge. He gets to be that judge. That's hard to remember. And so, yes, I'm going to be a voice of justice everywhere I can be a voice of justice, everywhere I can, and in every place that I can. In particular, my calling is with children, for sure. And I'm going to be a voice for children everywhere that I can be a voice. But the eternal one, the eternal judgment, that's, I got to release it, and I got to let him, I got to trust, in particular, when I see an injustice to a degree that I really can't get my head around. And working with kids, I've seen some injustices that I cannot get my head around. I can't. Like, I don't understand. And I'm like, all right, Lord, I have to trust that you've got this, because there are certain things that I've seen and I've heard that I can't get my finite head around. It just doesn't make sense. So let's see how we're doing on time. All right, we're all right. Okay, so overcoming. So as we do all of these things, as we kind of allow him to adjust our vision, as we really press into him, we really learn more about who God is, as we are intentional in the refining process. God, help me not kick against you in that refining process. If there's a trial that's coming my way, help me to look at where you are in that trial and not kick against that process. It doesn't mean that we don't vocalize our pain in it, because, oh, he will tell you that I am one that I'm like, why? Or how long? You know, like, those are the questions that I have. But to realize he's moving and working. And so as the smoke clears from the burning off of the pollutants of self, and as we see Jesus more clearly for who he is, and as we adjust our mindset to an eternal mindset, we are going to be able to see more clearly. We're going to start to see clearly that there is an eternity that is so much bigger, to the degree that if you really go and you look at how big the earth is in comparison with this universe, that's why I had a student who once asked me, and I could tell that her mind, she was already fighting some skepticism voices in seventh grade, and I can remember her asking, so why would God create, like, this planet among this whole universe? Like, why? And to me, I'm like, to me, it's this verse. To me, it's this verse, if it's for no other reason than this verse, because to demonstrate just his power, his love, his grace at such a level, as high as the heavens are above the earth, eternity is so much bigger than every temporary struggle that we're walking through, and I am guilty of not always remembering that. I am guilty of not always putting into proper perspective. And so for me, again, the stars, like, that's one of the key things he's used in my life, is that that's how big, that's how huge. Every problem that I face, if I put it in the scope of our planet compared to this vast, that's how big he is. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And so really just rejoicing in that fact, that he really does take all of our sin, he takes everything, and that we have the hope of eternity. We have the hope to spend eternity with him, knowing that all the things that we see in this life, that we are limited in our sight, one day we will have full vision. We will have full sight. We will have full understanding. We will have perspective. And we'll actually agree. We'll go, you were right. Yeah, you were right. That's right. You were right. Oh, yeah, every single time you were right. And whereas right now, sometimes because of our limited vision, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me that sometimes goes, are you sure about that? Kind of thing. So I'd like to pray for us, and I think, yeah, that's it. So I want to pray for us, and just pray for us as individuals and as a body. Father God, I just pray right now that anything that I spoke today, that the prayer would be that only your words would be heard. Anything of myself that would get intermingled, I just pray that those things would be forgotten. But Lord, anything that's you, that would take root and that would hold. God, I pray right now that we as a body of believers, that we would be faithful to come before you with ourselves and allow you to do the deep works in our hearts that need to be done. That we would allow you to just help us with our vision, to reframe our vision, that God, you would continue to give us hearts that are set on eternity, that we would have eternal mindsets in everything that we do, that God, we as a body would be honest and open and look at where we are as a body, that we would look at where the church is, that God, we would continue to be faithful to allow your refining process. God, we do lift up this world. Lord, you are the God who sees every injustice. God, you are the God who sees everything that is wrong. You are the one who sees pain. You're the one who sees. And God, I thank you for that name, that you're the God who sees. And we ask right now that you would just continue to remind us that you are always at work, even in those places where we see injustice, even in the places where we see things that shouldn't be. And just help us to remember that you're the one who will eventually right all wrongs for all eternity. And God, help us to continue to walk with you in that process and allow our vision to be reshaped and molded into the vision that you have for our lives and for this world. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jen.
Welcome.
I want us to do a little, I really felt like we need to do a little business with God, just a few minutes. I just feel like I just want you all right now just to bow your head and close your eyes and just want you to, as much as you can, quiet your mind and set your heart to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about, is there something in my heart and my life that needs to go? That as you were listening to the sermon, or just God's been convicting you, and you know there's some things that need to be purified out of your life. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. This is a thing between you and the Lord. But if you can just say, yes, that's me, to the Holy Spirit right now. I've got some things that came to mind immediately. Let's just do business with God right now. Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I need you to help me to purify my heart. I've definitely got some things. It's the world that's polluting my view of you. And it keeps me from seeing how big you are. And it makes my problems bigger than they should be. Now, I also just pray right now, whether that you're at home or you're here in person, there is somebody here that's really dealing with some discouragement. That's really dealing with some, you've just been beat up. You just feel tired. You're weary in your soul. Or maybe there's some here also that have had some depression, that you've really dealt with depression. You've dealt with some OCD. You know, boy, that really spoke to me. Right now, right where you are, God sees you. He loves you. He's for you. You are not alone. It's not a coincidence that you heard this message. God wants you to know that He is with you, that He never leaves you or forsakes you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And again, I pray that they would just be able, Lord, to receive from you. Help them to receive in their heart. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All right.